Welcome, everybody, to You Get the Blessing. Bo Mitchell, Bob Belts, and John Lennon.
In a new year. Welcome to the first show, 2013.
This is an interesting lyric.
We do want everybody to come together this year, though.
Exactly. That's why we're playing this song. We're going to come together. So when Lennon wrote this song, he was in an altered state of mind. Wouldn't you say?
When wasn't he in those particular days?
Wish he'd lived a little longer.
Straightened out quite a bit. Actually had some interesting spiritual encounters with some believers. And it's another story.
Well, let's show a little energy. December 8th, 1980, John Lennon gets shot, and we're playing his music 30-plus years later because the guy was a genius. But to us, the geniuses in the world are the people who say, this isn't about me. I can't do this. I need a Lord. I need a Savior. I need to see what this scripture, the Holy Bible, really says about how to live life. And our two guests today, Daniel and Nathan, are guys that are going to share their stories. So, Daniel, let's start with you, friend. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You Get the Blessing exists because your story is getting ready to bless thousands of lives as they listen.
Yes, sir.
So start at the beginning and tell us, where were you born and what was it like around your place as a kid?
Well, I was born in Denver, in the Five Points area of the east side. Had a mother and father. At the age of 7, my mom and father weren't giving us attention, so I took the role of being a mom and a dad to raise my siblings, feed them, clothe them, wash them, and did that until I was about 13.
How many siblings do you have?
6.
And you raised them?
I raised them.
So, what's that mean? You had to get to work? You had to send them off to school?
I had to do what I had to do on the streets at a very young age by selling drugs and stuff like that. And it wasn't nice and it wasn't fun. Remember one time a whole car got shot up because I was on the wrong side of town. Learned my lesson. Try to do a different kind of lifestyle by cleaning and working for my money, raking lawns, mowing lawns.
So you just had to grow up fast, or
pretty much
everybody
pretty
was
much
suffer
real quick.
More.
Being 7, feeling like I'm 16, 17 years old, just to raise my brothers and sisters, took an effect on me. And at 13, my mom and father, they couldn't handle my attitude and the way I lived. So they signed me over to the state of Colorado.
Well, what does that mean? You were
causing... I was a ward of the state.
So you were causing trouble and they booted you out?
Yeah, pretty much. They couldn't handle my temper and my attitude and anger towards everybody.
Can you remember what that made you feel like?
Were you at that time, yeah, I was just pretty much angry at anything.
So you go live where then?
I lived in various group homes and shelters for like boys and girls and just numerous places, jail. And then I got sent away to Utah for a boot camp. And that's where I learned my responsibility and where I became a man.
So you're listening to our guest, Daniel Carbajal, Hill today on You Get the Blessing. Daniel's telling us about a pretty tragic upbringing here in Denver. So what happened? You're sitting here today, you're handsome, you're smiling, you're friendly, you're successful. What happened in Utah?
I just became a man. I got a lot of responsibility doing a lot of workouts and feeding farm animals and taking care of them and just learned a lot of responsibilities and goals that I wanted to accomplish in my life. I got there out of there at the age of like 17. Went back to Denver, did a group home until I was 18. And that was, luckily, by God's grace, that was literally down the block from where my mom and dad stood. So I would sneak over there and make sure my brothers and sisters were still okay. doing what I have to do still, but being more cautious about it. And November 11th, 2007 is where I found Christ. Received him in my heart, and physically and spiritually I had an experience with him than like no other. And this I felt was, like he was there with me right at that moment.
And this was through New Life in Christ Church and Jack LaPietra or John Rodriguez or all of them?
Through everybody of New Life in Christ, and it was pretty awesome. I felt God's fire, his passion, his love, his grace, and just his word that he wanted me to speak out to people boldly and not scared about what other people are going to think about our Christianity.
So, Bob, how would you describe what happened to Daniel?
Oh, I was just curious what led up to that, and was it, had you ever heard the good news about Jesus before, or was it, I mean, literally, was it like that was the first time you talked with someone and it happened, or had there been kind of some conversations leading up to that? Or?
Well, there was a couple conversations and a couple moments in my life where it led up. Me and my now wife, we had a kid together. And I just looked into her eyes and I seen the face of God in my personal experience, that I needed to make a change, stop doing the drugs, stop selling the drugs, and just moving forward. Actually seeing that moment of life where your life is over, but it's a new beginning to start with your daughter and to move on and to guide her in the way you grew up. Just that she could learn something better than what I've learned in life.
Yeah, I think if you're listening today and you're not quite sure what we're talking about here, one of the things we try and do on You Get the Blessing is help you understand that that really what God's looking for, he loves you, he wants to have a relationship with you. I think that, so often we think about Christianity or religion as just a set of things we don't do or some things we need to do and don't understand that really it's a personal relationship and that God loves you. And for Daniel, that moment kind of moving into and saying yes to that and opening his life to Christ, that's what his November 11th, 2007 date, that's
my
great
birthday.
It's your birthday, that's great.
So, let's jump over here to Nathan Armijo. Nathan, let's hear a little bit about your story. First of all, I want to thank you for wearing that Colorado Rockies cap. You look sharp.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Glad to have you. You a big Rockies fan?
Kind of. I just like the hat.
That's the wrong answer. No, that's good. You're wearing our logo.
So, Nathan
Armijo. Oh, Belch has his Rockies cap on now.
Yeah.
I can't get one.
I've had this since the World Series. So.
Have you?
Yeah, and I thought I lost it, and it's like my favorite hat. So.
Because we took Rich Beach.
That's right.
And our friend Rich Beach passed away. This is about our third.
I wear it a lot in L.A., year. And the Dodger fans don't like it very well. But,
good. Yeah. We don't like their logo either. So, Nathan, tell us about your background, kind of like Daniel did. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Los Angeles, California. Came out to Denver when I was 3 years old and grew up in the Cole neighborhood. And I guess you could call that East Denver. And I grew up, I have a younger brother that's 4 years younger than me. And, our parents were all right parents. They got divorced when I was 12 years old. And basically from when I was 12 years old till now, I just had to learn how to do things on my own.
So did you stay with your mom then?
I was back and forth. Living with mom, dad, grandma, cousins, uncles, friends.
So we've had a few testimonies lately, Bob, how tough it is when parents abandon their children or get divorced and then the kids are back and forth. So best thing you can do for your wife, men, if you're listening, is love them and stay together. And
best thing you can do for your kids, too.
Yeah, amen. And if you don't feel that today, act your way into a better way of feeling. Don't feel your way into a better way of acting.
How about that?
Yeah.
Case closed. Keep going, Nathan.
So, you know, I have two children. My son is 9 years old, and my daughter is 10, about to be 11. And I've been married to my wife for 12 years. And, you know, I'm just a father and a husband, just taking it day by day.
And I know you recently got into a little trouble. How much can you speak about that?
We could speak a little bit about it. I won't get into it in depth, but we could talk a little bit about it. And
what are you facing?
I'm facing no less than 10 years, no more than life. It's a federal drug crime. And actually, even though it's bad, I'm glad that it happened to me. And the reason I'm glad is because it got me where I need to be with the Lord.
So, as scared as you may feel in your gut, and as broken as you may feel that you're facing this, which is something I faced myself 22 years ago, you have a group of people around you that have said, let's don't miss this pain.
Yeah.
Let's make this a spiritual deal and about God, and make you finally pay attention to what God may have in mind for you. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes. That's what it is. And I'll tell you, God gave me a choice, okay? And I didn't make the choice that he gave me, so he made it for me. And that choice was, you can only be on one side. You can't play both sides. And you either be on one side or the other. And he made that decision for me.
So when is the sentencing?
Actually, right now, we're still going through all the, you know, proceedings. Like, I have court coming up, and it's basically a status hearing to see where everybody's at and what the lawyers and prosecutors want to do. And from what I'm understanding, this could probably go on for another year. And yeah, I'm afraid, but I'm pushing that fear aside, because I know by staying faithful in the grace of God, I will get through this. And I think the hardest part about it is that feeling like I've destroyed my family.
Yeah, I felt that too. You feel this. I never felt embarrassed. I never felt angry like at the judge. But I felt like I'd let everybody down. I felt
that's what I'm going through right now.
Well, they'll be the ones that stand tall and stand with you. Mm-hmm. So don't beat yourself up too much with that.
Yeah.
On one hand. On the other hand, I spent about 2.5 years where I just felt like crying all day, because I thought I'd just let everybody down.
Yeah, it'll really wake you up and make you see things you've never seen before. I'll tell you that much.
Well, he'll give you the strength to do whatever it is you have to do, and I'm betting they stand with you.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of support around me, and if I would have known then what I know now, I would have been on this side a long time ago. So many wonderful things have been happening, and the Lord sure has blessed my family and I countless times. And I know that this mountain will be thrown into the sea.
Amen. Yeah, I used to think, Bob, that God wired me to go 150 miles an hour. And that's a comfortable speed for me. And if you can't get on board and enjoy that ride, it's okay. You be what God meant for you to be. I'll be what God meant for me to be. What I didn't understand was there was a right lane of life, which is okay, not quite as fast. In my case, it was business, not drugs. But I certainly didn't understand how unsafe I was around a lot of people, especially my wife and daughter, who just thought, why does Dad have to be like this? But my last night in prison, I prayed, God, if I haven't learned every single lesson you want me to learn through this, I pray that I won't go home tomorrow. I'll stay here. My roommates were like, How about we knock it off? Let's pray that tomorrow night when you're home. Don't pray it tonight, but I sincerely prayed it. And don't you, Bob, sense that sincerity in Nathan's voice?
Yes. And I know that kind of walking through you a little bit with what happened those years ago, you really used that in your life as a time to go a lot deeper. And it was almost like a monastic retreat for you, because you spent your days in the Word and praying, and you weren't even guilty. I mean, you got sent away for something you didn't even do, and which seems so unfair and unjust. And yet, you know, you allowed God to use that to make you the man that you are today. So,
thank you.
So it's, you know, who knows? Yeah. But one way or the other, if your heart's in the right place and you're allowing Christ to really be in control, sometimes, you know, half of our Bible was written from prison.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, we'll pray for better for you than that.
Somebody taught me that when things happen, you really only have two basic choices: surrender to God or rebel against God. I surrendered. There are people still listening that are rebelling, and I guess I would encourage you to experience what Nathan and I experienced, that you can turn this over to God and make whatever's going on in your life a God deal by inviting him in and trusting him to be at the core of it.
Don't fight it. Just give it all to God.
Amen. You know, a lot of people go through that by themselves, and I don't know how they do it, but it seems like all of you guys have a neat band of brothers that have kind of come together. And tell us a little bit of, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. Is that your group that, are you part of the group with Dominic and Noe and those guys that are,
yes,
seem to all be together? Tell us a little bit about kind of that band of brothers.
We're just more supportive with each other and there for one another. We do a class every Tuesday night. And it's pretty exciting when you hear something you've never heard before and you get to argue about it and talk about it and just discuss everything that life throws at us. And we can use them words and choreograph them to our own. It's just a blessing. I couldn't say anything more or less. I love my brothers. I love my sisters at my church, and I mean, God's love is everything.
So within your group, does John Rodriguez help, or is it just you guys doing it on your own?
He's in our group. He helps us. He mentors us, as well as Jack, and just others in the church. We're always there for one another. We never let one fall without being there with them through that walk. And it's just encouraging.
What do you guys see as Chicano? What are you? The other guys told us one of them's Mexican, one of them's Hispanic, one of them's Chicano.
We're all
one
Chicano and, you know, just different races. We're all different races.
What do you see when you look at us?
Brothers.
White? Do you see? You don't see stupid white guys?
I see. No, I see brothers. Because in God's eyes and in my eyes, we're all brothers. We all come through his blood, his bloodline.
And make sure he knows that if you end up getting sentenced to prison, I'll help him.
Definitely.
I'll tell you what's coming up, because I've had dozens of guys call me from around the country to say, we heard you went through this. What can you tell us? And half of them are still totally in the bull flare zone. They're really not serious about the Lord. They're not serious even about what they're getting ready to face. They're still playing games. They're still dinking around. And I tell them early on, you know, as soon as you can wedge your head out of your rear end, call me back and maybe I'll help you. You can't see the light with your head in that posture. So you, Nathan, seem to me like you're ready to be God's man in this situation. And I can tell you some things just logistically, day in, day out, to get through the hard part of prison, but how to turn it into what Bob said. He's not kidding. It can be my wife used to call it an enforced spiritual retreat, because it is time. You'll have a lot of time to read scripture and pray, but you seem serious about this.
Well, You have some people who do it for the camera and some people who do it for the truth. And it's all truth for me. There's nothing fake about it. There's nothing about putting on a show. This is who I am, and this is what God wants me to be.
Well, in my case, I was promised probation and ended up getting an 11-month sentence. And I would just warn you that the judges that are sitting in those seats are used to seeing bad people that have done bad things. So they don't take their responsibilities lightly. So just make sure you're not bargaining with God. Yeah. God, I'm with you as long as I get a light sentence, because you don't know. I mean, when we remove our hands from God's hands, Bob, isn't it sort of like, hey, all of a sudden it's the world kind of jumps in. I'm not saying God couldn't have stopped my situation, but I subjected myself to real world stuff, just like Nathan has.
Yeah. And again, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, that doesn't connect with me because I'm not getting ready to go to prison or whatever, but that's really the reality of life. You either, you know, can be in a relationship where Christ is really in control of your life and you're experiencing God's plan, whatever it is. And sometimes that doesn't mean that there won't be hard times. It doesn't mean that, you know, you might not experience, you know, struggles in your finances or health or whatever. But, you know, if you're completely surrendered and allowing Christ to be Lord, there's a peace that comes with that. And God uses that in your life. But if you're, you know, if you have basically said, you know, hey, I'm going to take control, I'm in the driver's seat, I'm going to be enthroned as the king of my own life, then you can't experience that. And, you know, and your life can become a train wreck. And sometimes God uses the train wreck, but some people don't even seem to, you know, get the message when the train has crashed. So, you know, it's kind of this day by day, you know, decision as to who really is going to be Lord in your life. You're going to allow Christ to be Lord, or are you going to resist and be, you know, scripture calls it being stiff-necked. It's a pretty good expression, you know. So
we'll pray you up, Nathan.
All right.
We'll pray before we get off the air here.
Cool.
So hear me tell you, your best days are ahead of you.
Yeah. And no matter what they throw at me, it's all on God's time. I'm not turning to the Lord hoping that they give me a lighter sentence, because whatever happens is what happens. It's time to give my life to God, and that's what it is, you know. Like I said before, it's not for the camera or hoping that I get a lighter sentence or saying, oh, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. It's, you know, Lord, I screwed up, and we all have to pay consequences for the choices we make in life, and whatever that consequence may be, just see me through it.
That's a great word we used to teach our kids. You're free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences. So when I was sharing my testimony in the last 22 years since prison, you know, people are kind of listening to the story, maybe like they're listening to our show today as we're talking about this subject, and they'd nod, kind of like, that's interesting, as Bob just said, what's that got to do with me? And when I would say, for all I know, you are in prison today in your life more impactfully than I ever was in a literal prison, federal prison, people would start crying, because people are in the prisons of a bad marriage or debt or an addiction to drugs or alcohol or pornography, or the prison of a physical ailment that the doctor said is going to kill them. And we all need to be freed from that feeling of being in prison. And the way you get freed is the way Nathan has spoken here today, and the way he looks sitting here. This is the most free you've ever been in your life, isn't it?
Yeah, I could honestly say that.
Yeah, and I said it too, even when I was in prison. So let's have a prison break this morning. If in your soul you're feeling locked up and in prison, we encourage you that through the power of Christ and a commitment to Him, you can get out of that prison.
Yeah, and it's a new year. What a great time to take a fresh start. God's the God of second, third, fourth chances. And, you know, you might think, hey, you know, I'm beyond salvage this morning, but we want to say to you, you know, you can make a fresh start today, and you can break free, as Bo was saying. And it's all a matter of really opening your lives and allowing Christ to be who he should be in our lives, Lord of all.
So promise me, fellas, that with Jack and John, you'll call me and keep me posted on Nathan's progress, and we'll all sit down and talk, and maybe we'll have a celebration dinner that he's not going, or maybe we'll have a celebration dinner that he is going in the power of Christ, and he's going to be God's man in whatever situation is thrown at him. And we pray that for all you listening today. Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing. Happy New Year. We'll see you here next week, and if you'll get involved in your own prison break, you will get the blessing.